Glory to God. Brother Zach, would you pray for us, please? Amen. Amen. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church Seeker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? Everyone that reads their Bible through this year can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free. Free of charge. Be in January, sometime in January. Helen Keller said the Bible's the only way out of the dark. The only way for me to understand. The only way. Where did Matthew start? The book of Matthew. Bethlehem's correct. Where did Mark? Someone knew. Where did Mark start? Bethlehem. Good. Someone knew. Where did Luke begin? Bethlehem is right. Where did John begin? In the beginning. That's right. Where else? Verse 18. Anyone. In the bosom of the Father is exactly right. Let's review a little bit. We've been trying to start the book of St. John. And let's just start in verse 1 here, chapter 1, and review a little bit. In the beginning was the capital W word. And the big W word was with God. And the big W word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So you were right. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That was me for 20 years. The light was all around me, trying to shine in my cold, dark, wicked heart, and I comprehended it not. I didn't know. Darkness is all around Adam's fallen race. There's darkness in a religious mind that leads otherwise intelligent people into unsoundness and nonsense. There's darkness in the philosophical mind. There's darkness of the carnal mind. Darkness of the scientific mind. It's complicated. Life is complicated. They say life's only chemistry. It's only complex chemistry. That's all there is. At Calvary, the power of darkness had its moment.
Yeah.
And the light went out. The light, T-H-E, capital L, light, went out on Calvary. The light went out. On resurrection morning, however, it rose again. The light shined again unto a perfect day. Let's look at it in Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, start about verse 14 here. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Remember, there's only two paths. There's God's path and the enemy's path. And my path is not in the middle. My path is the same as the enemy's path. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they, the wicked, sleep not except they have done mischief. And their sleep's taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just. Anybody been justified? Just as though you never sinned. Just as though you never were a sinner. Yeah, that's right. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. We're headed for a perfect day. Now, right now, the Lord lives with me. But one day soon, I'm going to go live with Him. And it's going to be better. Everything's going to be better over there. Over there, it's going to be better. John's showing us here that belief and unbelief live side by side. They're going down the road side by side, belief and unbelief. And he goes, let's go, look at verse 6 here. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. For the same came for a witness to bear witness of the big L light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John was not the light. John the Nazarene. There's been three Nazarites in the Bible. Samuel, Samson, and John. Samson utterly failed. He failed. Now, Nazarite, I said Nazarene a while ago, not Nazarene. Nazarite wasn't allowed to touch a dead body. It wasn't allowed to touch wine or drink any wine. They had all their appetites on the altar. They couldn't cut their hair, and that's back when it wasn't popular to show that they were different. They were different. And for 1,500 years, that was it. Samson was the Nazarite that failed. Samuel was a Nazarite, but he was a prophet. And John the Baptist was more than a prophet. He was a prophet and a priest. A priest showed professional consecration, and a Nazarite showed personal consecration. He was set apart. The light has to do with knowing. Remember, the light bulb comes on. I understand the math problem. And light has to do with knowing. Life has to do with showing. That's how I live it out. Among them that were born of women, there's not risen a greater than John the Baptist. He was sent from God to bring the nation of Israel fresh light. Fresh light. Tell about Jesus coming. John the Baptist. Verse 7 is the motive, the purpose. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now, a witness is not the same thing as a lawyer. All us witnesses can do is tell the truth or tell what we know. But a lawyer, he's trying to get a decision in his favor, a point. But that's not us. We just testify and tell what we know. It's really pretty simple. The methods, verse 8. I think Dave said it the other night. I was blind, but now I can see. I just tell what I know. Verse 8. He was not that light. John was not the big L light, but was sent to bear witness to that light. And guess what? We're not the light. I know it's been left here, but the moon, who is a picture of the church, John's a picture of the church, the moon is made up of hard lunar rocks like my whole wicked hard heart. And all the moon does is reflect.
Right.
We're not the light. We get confused and we get thinking we're the light. John wasn't the light and we're not the light. We do reflect the light. And he left us here to do that. It's a temporary job. It's a temporary job. We're going to go be the bride real soon. We're going to that perfect day, that perfect city where the sun's the light and we won't be needed no more. Not like that. Not to reflect. We'll be the bride then. We won't be the moon. We'll be the bride. There's the method in verse 8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to that light. It's all temporary. Then verse 9. The light revealed. That was the true light. The big light. The capital L light. Which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man has some light. Romans 1 calls it the light of creation. We can look and see all the trees point to God. We can watch and see the sun come up every morning in the east and set in the west. And know that there wasn't a big bang. That there's a creator. If I obey the light of creation, then he'll give me more light. In chapter 2, I can get the light. Romans chapter 2, I get the light of conscience. I could get born again and get a conscience. Adam and Eve got him a conscience later on after they messed up. Or they got a conscience when they fell, I mean, and then they needed that sacrifice from God. And then if I obey that light of conscience, then over in chapter 3, Romans 3, I can get the covenant. The Jews had the oracles, not regular old oracles, but the oracles of God, the living oracles. If I obey what light I have. In verse 9 is the light revealed. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. But the amazing thing, what John's amazed about here, is in verse 10 that we resist the light. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Yeah. Again, that was me for 20 years. I resisted light. I had eyes and couldn't see, and ears and couldn't hear. I was a walking dead man. I was half dead, like the fellow on the Jericho Road. And I needed my spirit revived. I needed saved.
Right.
I was lost, doomed, and damned. And I resisted light. Verse 11, John's amazed that some reject the light. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Rejection. It was rejection by his own countrymen, and rejected by his own creation, his created creatures. We rejected him. Now, verse 12. That's all review. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I learned this week where liars go. They go to D.C. I suspected it all along. A while back, there was a billboard up on Billboard Street that said, "Be an organ donor. Give your heart to Jesus." Sounds good. Tricky little quote. But I passed it several times and I got to thinking, well, there's something not right about that. And you know me, I checked it out. But guess what? That's not in the Bible.
That's right. It's not.
You don't find it anywhere in the Bible. Now, on that billboard, I was expecting to see Seventh Day or something like that down in the corner, but it wasn't. It said Answer Ministries. Now, I don't know if they're hooked up to anything. I don't know what they're hooked up to. Maybe nothing. Maybe just mavericks. But the Lord died for the church. As far as I know, He didn't die for the ministries or the temple or the assembly, the worship center.
Right.
The fellowship or the tabernacle.
This is true.
I know He died for every individual, but He loved the church and He died for the church. Now, if they don't want the name church in their title, they're probably not one.
Right. And be careful.
Good. They're probably not. But anyway, I passed that billboard a few times and thinking about that receiving and giving. And well, even John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. That's God's job, is to give. That's God's job. The preacher was just talking about this last Sunday night in the men's meeting at 5 o'clock. Brother Lester went down to Dr. Law and he said, "Doc," he said, "you got to help me." He said, "What is it, Lester?" He said, "Well, it's my eyes. They're looking at things they ought not look at." And Dr. Law said, "No, Lester. No, it's your heart." Lester got mad and left. Came back in a couple of weeks. He said, "Dr. Law, I need help." He said, "What is it, Lester?" He said, "Well, it's my ears. I'm listening to things I ought not listen to." He said, "No, Lester, it's your heart.
Right, right.
It's your heart." And he got mad and left. And he come back in a couple of weeks. He said, "Doc, I need help." He said, "What is it, Lester?" He said, "Well, it's my mouth. There's things I'm putting in it that I ought not to, and things that's coming out that ought not to come out." He said, "No, Lester, it's your heart. It's your heart." He got mad and left. Come back in a couple of weeks. He said, "What is it, Lester?" He said, "It's my hands, Doc. My hands are doing things they ought not to do." He said, "No, Lester, it's your heart. It's your heart." And he got mad and left. Come back a couple of weeks and said, "Doc, it's my feet." He said, "What's the matter?" He said, "They're taking me places I ought not to go." He said, "No, Lester, no. It's your heart."
Right.
He said, "Okay, Doc." He said, "How bad is it?" He said, "Well, Lester, you're going to die."
Right. Right.
It's terminal. So, well, he said, what do I do? He said, you need a heart transplant. Yeah. He said, okay, go ahead, doc. He said, no. He said, I never operate. He said, I only diagnose.
Yeah.
It's all I do.
Yeah.
And he took him across the hall to Dr. Grace.
Yeah.
And Dr. Grace, he told how dirty that first office was, and Dr. Grace was just shining and gleaming and stainless steel stuff everywhere. And laid him down on a table, and he reached down in there and pulled out a wicked, slimy, moldy, dirty, wicked heart, slung it down, gave him a brand new pink heart, a heart of flesh. And Lester said he got all right then. He got his heart fixed. Got his heart fixed.
Yes.
Dr. Law and Dr. Grace.
That's good.
Right. We're not trying to make anyone doubt your salvation. If you say, I gave Jesus my heart, maybe that's just how you say it. I might say it that way sometimes. I actually heard Charlie Kirk say it both ways. I received Christ. You need to receive Christ. And I heard him say he gave his heart to Jesus. Heard him say it both ways on a Tuesday and a Thursday. And sometimes that's just how we say it. And I'm not trying to make anyone doubt. I'm not trying to get someone to come pray or profession or something. I'm mainly talking to those that never said it neither way. Here's the test to know whether you receive Christ. Let me read verse 12 again. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now, we've been through it many times, but the ones that believe are the ones that received. And the ones that received are the ones that believe. Come around knocking on your door. Hey, this is Brother Rick and the preacher. We're from Mountain State Baptist Church. Just wonder if you folks go to church anywhere if you're saved. Well, yeah, we show them. Yeah, I believe all that, but I'm just not ready. No, the truth is they don't believe.
Right.
If you don't receive, you don't believe.
Yeah,
it's a fact. It's a scientific. And here's the test. And it really, 1 John 5, it really doesn't matter what you've done in the past or which way you've said it. I just want you to know that to receive is the proper one. But 1 John 5:12, look at here. He that hath the Son. That's the question. Capital S, do you have the Son right now? Hath is present tense.
Yes,
I don't care how you said it or what you did. Do you have the Son right now?
Yeah.
Right now, that's the test.
Yes,
he that hath the Son hath life. That's eternal life. It's talking about in verse 11 and verse 13. It's eternal life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's that simple. Every word's a one-syllable word. He that hath the Son. Let me ask you, do you have the Son?
Yes.
Yes, amen.
Yes,
me too. I got Him too.
Yes,
I received Him November 16th, 1974.
Yes.
Now, if you're just bent on giving something to the Lord, well, first let me show you this. Here, I said God was a giver. Here's some things He gives us. Starting in Matthew. Give good gifts to the children. I will give you rest. Give ye them to eat. I'll give thee the keys. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Give unto the poor. This is what God does. Whatsoever is right, I'll give you. Give the laborers their hire. Well, I hope you pay me what I think I'm worth, because I can't live on what I'm worth. I can't do that. To give him his life, a ransom for me. It's what the Lord did. The Lord's a giver. I'm a leech. I'm a deadbeat. I'm a receiver. I drain it off. To give knowledge of salvation, that's what He does. To give light to them that sit in darkness. To give you power. Give us this day our daily bread. This might be my favorite. Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Don't worry about it. That's what He wants to do. He's a giver. He loves to give. He's going to give us the kingdom. I come to give. That's what God does. And I come to give peace on earth. I give unto them eternal life. a new commandment I give unto you. He shall give you another comforter, the lively oracles to give unto us. Give you the sure mercies of David. With him also freely give us all things. Give to him that needeth. Christ shall give thee light. Give unto your servants. I will give thee a crown of life, and I will give unto him that is athirst. This is things God gives us. Things God. Now, if you're bound on giving him something, give account of your stewardship. Give account.
Yeah.
We're going to give account.
Yeah.
We're going to. How about give glory to God?
Yeah.
There's some things we can give.
Yeah.
Saved people can give. I'm not talking about getting saved now. That was a while ago on the receiving. This is some things saints can do. How about this one? Cease not to give thanks.
That's good.
Neither give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. How about this? Give thanks to God. Give thanks to God always. Give in everything, give thanks. Bound to give thanks always to God. If I want to give something, I need to give thanks. I need to give glory to God. That's some things I can give. I'm not going to give him my heart. He doesn't need my heart. How about this one? Till I come, give attendance to reading. Been reading the Bible every day?
That's good.
That's something I can give him. They said, "Oh woman, she always run around like Miss Hope, real thankful." They said, "Oh woman, why are you so thankful? You only got two teeth in your head." She said, "Well, I'm thankful they're straight across from each other." Have you received him? Have you received him? There's some that believe in sinless perfection, but they're confused on the definition. The proper definition of sinless perfection is, yeah, sinless perfection. Don't get ahead of me, Brother Caleb. Sinless perfection stepped out on nothing and spoke everything
right
into existence. Then sinless perfection left the bosom of the Father and bankrupted heaven. Then sinless perfection took on a body. Y'all had it right in Bethlehem. He was hid out. He came into his own and his own received him not. They didn't recognize him because he was hid out in a body.
Yeah.
Sinless perfection was able to make blind eyes see, crippled legs walk. Sinless perfection could walk on water because he made the Pacific. He knows where every octopus is. He knows how deep it is. He made the Atlantic. Sinless perfection could walk on water. Then sinless perfection could say, "Peace be still," and the storm would stop because he made it.
Right.
He started. He was hid out among men. He came into his own. His own received him not. They didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was. Then we couldn't take it. We couldn't take it, and we murdered him. He's making us look too bad.
Yeah.
Making us look too bad. We murdered him with the worst murder there is. You couldn't use it on a citizen. It's reserved for the worst criminal there was.
Right.
And we murdered him. And sinless perfection was laid in the grave for 3 days. And then sinless perfection rose from the dead, went back to where he came from. See, he's not from around here.
Right.
He's from somewhere else.
Yeah.
And he's coming back.
Amen.
He's still coming back. He's still coming. He's still coming.
Amen.
Light revealed, light resisted, light received. Have you received him?
Yes,
sir.
You received. Believe, receive, become the sons of God. The name, let's read it again, still in verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." That name, that wonderful name, we'll have a whole lesson on it here one day, a whole hour, about the 350 names in the Bible. That glorious name, that sinless name, that name Matthew uses 151 times. Mark uses it 13 times. Luke 88. But Brother John, picture of the church, beloved John, the one that Jesus loved 247 times. He reminds us on every page of His deity, that Jesus is God. God with us, Emmanuel, God come down from heaven. Not just a mere human, 100% God, 100% man. The God-man, the key to our salvation. Believe and receive. But as many as received Him, have you received Him? To them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. The ones that believe are the sons of God. The sons of God are the ones that received. The ones that received are the sons of God. And the sons of God are the ones that believe. That's according to the Bible. When He came in Bethlehem, right there in Bethlehem, He didn't cease to be God. See, when every one of us was born, each one of us, something brand new started and took off. That didn't happen in Bethlehem. He'd always been. He was in eternity before, as far as you can go that way. He'll be in the eternity past, as far as you can go that way, or future, I mean. Nothing new began. He always had been. He just took on a body. Mary is not the mother of God. She's the mother of the body that God hid out in incognito.
Right.
The Lord dwelt among us. He pitched His tent, His tabernacle with us. It looked like the other tents around. He looked the same. His glory was hidden. His deity was hidden. It was all veiled. His identity. Let's start in verse 13 now. Which, I better read 12 again. Can I read it one more time?
Yes, go ahead.
It's my second favorite verse.
Yes.
1 John 5:12 is my favorite. Or at least I use it the most. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born again, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Right.
Born of God, is what verse 13 says. He's talking about those that received Christ. And the Word, capital W Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, I always like to read that verse with 1, 2, and 3. Let's do that once, and hopefully we can see Emmanuel, God with us. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14, you've done read everything in between, it changes nothing. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The God-man, Emmanuel, God with us. He came to be with us. That's what John said. He's going to identify Him in verse 15. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. John knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Creator and that He was in the beginning. John knew He was in the bosom. He knew where He came from. He didn't trick John. John knew who He was. He said, this is His person. This is His person. John bare witness and cried aloud, saying, this is He of whom I spake. He knew that He was preeminent, that He was out in front of not just John, but of everything. In front of everything. Not just in front of the church, but in front of everything. In front of creation. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. He knew about His pre-existence as God. He said, for He was before me. He was before me.
Yeah.
Verse 16. And of the fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Under the law, that law we talked about, Dr. Law that Lester went to, if we were under the law, the whole human race would be extinct today.
Yes.
There was a penalty with every law, and that penalty was death. And Brother Rick wouldn't even be here. 17, verse 17. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace invites the sinner, offers a pardon, commends the Savior, lifts up the Savior. Truth indicts the sinner, says guilty. It requires Calvary and condemns the sinner. You can see it all in Psalm 85:10. Truth and mercy are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. 11. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord, the big Lord, shall give that which is good. Our land shall yield an increase. Righteousness shall go before Him and shall set us in a way, in the way of His steps. There's only two ways. There's not three ways. There's the Lord's way and mine and the devil's way. There's no path in the middle. There's only two ways. Full. He brought all His deity with Him to Bethlehem. All of His grace and all of His truth in His deity. Verse 18. John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. What He did was to lead God out in the open where everybody could see. He brought God to us so we could see what God was like, what He acted like, what He was like, so men could see Him and know Him. He didn't go to school to become God. He always has been God. Always will be God. He came so we could see what God was like. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent the priests and the Levites from Jerusalem to ask Him, "Who art thou?" Now, this definition of Jews, we see it right down here in verse 24. Notice this. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. A lot of times, John calls the Pharisees Jews. And back in the day, it wasn't a good term. Back in the day, it was a slur, actually. And John the Baptist is questioned by the religious leaders. And starting in verse 20, they want to know who he was. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I'm not the Christ. I'm not the light. I reflect. I'm the moon. I'm hard lunar rock." And they ask him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I'm not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." And then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" They put great stock in their rank and authority. It shook them up when they weren't the authority and they had to kill him. It was not his. They were not under him. No way. Verse 23, and he said, "I am the voice. A voice of one crying in the wilderness." See, a voice is useless without a word. He cried, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." Voice is useless without a word, without the word. It was a misconception that John was the light. Some thought that they were so special they had no sin or need of salvation. It's a misconception. Some had heard that he was the Messiah to come. His answer was humble. It was honest and holy. He said, "I'm not the light." He said, "I'm not it. I'm not the one. It's him. It's him."
That's right.
Verse quick there. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. Thank you. You're the light. You're so great, dear Lord. We love you and praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.